Welcome to Inclusive Career Conversations, the go-to podcast for HR leaders, talent acquisition specialists, and D&I champions. I'm your host, Zoe Hayden-Jones, and each episode, we'll dive deep with thought leaders and trailblazers, uncovering actionable insights that empower you to create a more inclusive environment for everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Let's do this. So welcome to another episode of Inclusive Career Conversations. I am delighted to welcome my guest this week. We have Robert Baker, who is the founder and CEO of Potentia Talent Consulting, a trustee of UN Women UK and vice chair on European Women on Boards. Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Thanks so much, Zoe. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
What an introduction. I mean, we'll get into we're just going to start where we need to start, yeah. Because you seem to be doing so much. I love having these conversations and meeting with people and finding out the nitty gritty, the background, how you've got to where you are. So let's start right at the beginning. Talk to us about what you're up to.
Right. Okay. Well, I think one of the questions I often get is like, why is a man showing up in this gender equality space and speaking out for women, etc.? And I mean, I've been doing that for 20 odd years now. So it's kind of like I was there almost at the beginning, if you like, when weren't many men doing that. I'm delighted to see there's more men now speaking up for women and being allies, et cetera. But when I started in the workplace, what I noticed was there weren't many women in leadership positions and there weren't many women, at the top, as it were. And when we were setting up a women's network in the organization, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be good if men supported it? So, and because I'd had a long history of, working with very smart women when I was at university, et cetera. And I thought, you know, we really needed more women in business. So basically I helped set up the women's network by basically saying, look, if you want men to support it, you need to change the name, right? If you call it a women's network, men aren't going to come to the meeting. You should call it something else. So we called it The Vine. And then men didn't know it was a women's network meeting. We weren't publicizing it that way. And that meant that we got a lot of men attending the meeting because we also made the agenda very relevant to men as well. And then from that, I got invited to be on the board of various women's networks as one of the men that speaks up about this stuff. And then when I left the company I was working for in January 2020, I set up my own business and very much from the point of view of wanting to get more men engaged in this topic. So now I basically run workshops on gender balance, inclusive leadership, unconscious bias, male allyship for companies that want, particularly their male leaders, to understand why this is so important and what they can do to change.
Wow. I'm fascinated that, you know, you talk like 20 years ago, you recognized this, you know, not enough women in leadership, amazing, incredible, talented women. Was that doing a different role then? What area were you working in?
Well, I was working in a consulting firm and I was running some of our large client accounts. So I wasn't specifically working in gender balance or diversity and inclusion. That came later once I'd established, you know, my credentials and my interest in that space. But no, just in general, really, it was this feeling that, you know, I always found it fun and interesting to work with women. I think they generate great ideas. They bring a lot of value to business. And I couldn't understand why in our business we didn't have enough of them. When I looked around at other companies, I saw other companies didn't have enough women either. And it was like, wow, this is crazy. You know, all these brilliant, talented women. Why aren't they in positions of leadership or just kind of having more developed careers in some of these organizations? And so I was on a journey that I wanted to understand why that was and then what I could do as a male ally to sort of try and help, you know, move that along, I suppose.
That is fascinating. Well done you for recognizing it early on. So you've been there right from the beginning. Talk to me though. You mentioned that one of the questions you get asked is, "What? Hang on, you're talking about this subject area and you're a man. How do you respond to that?"
Well, I normally use this lovely Gloria Steinem quote where she says, men make, you know, amazing allies to women because they're not just helping somebody else, they're freeing themselves, basically. And what she meant was, by being allies, we free ourselves from what we call the man box, you know, where we men must be strong, must be tough, can't show emotions, mm-hmm. etc. And that's a real prison for us in many ways. So what I found was that being involved as an ally, being involved in gender balance, enabled me to step outside that man box and be the kind of man that I was. And there's a lot of men that want to be outside the man box too. So it's trying to encourage them to take that step as well. So what I'm saying is basically gender equality is good for men as well as good for women. It's good for all of us, basically. And particularly for men, it helps us deal with the kind of pressures that we face, which sometimes lead us to mental health issues and neglecting our health and overworking and in general, not actually leading very balanced lives. And so I wanted to lead a balanced life. And I think now there's more men, especially men of younger generations, that want to lead a more balanced life. So I think we're heading in the right direction, but we just got to give it a bit more of a shove to make it even more common.
I love that whole perspective of the pressures, because we don't always, when we're discussing gender equality, and we don't always look at it from the male perspective, you know, the pressures. Like, I've got a little boy and he sometimes suffers with his like worries, and it's so important for me as a woman. I'm talking about this at Jobs for Women and on Inclusive Career Conversations, but it's really important, like what you just said. I think people listening might have had some light bulb moments that we need to do this for the men as well, for everyone. It does truly benefit everybody, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And how I first came across this as a big issue was I read a book called End of Men by Hannah Rosin. And what she was pointing out, and this was a book written in 2012, and I saw it on an airport bookshelf. I thought, oh, I must get a copy of that book. I need to find out what the end of men is all about. And what she was basically saying was that men actually are falling behind and they're not doing as well from an emotional development point of view, and sometimes also from a performance point of view. And Richard Reeves picked this up in his book of Boys and Men, which was published in 2023, talking about how actually there are some groups of men really struggling with the workplace, the fact that women are doing actually pretty well in college, pretty well when they get into work. Women seem to have more friends than many men, many men are a little bit struggling in this world. So one of the things I want to do is I want to listen to the concerns of men, because I think, you know, if we listen to their concerns, then we're going to find it more easy to get them on board with being part of the change, which is going to be good for them as well as for women and for everybody in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that communication, having that open dialogue, because we need to learn what they're feeling in order to involve them. It's not just a case, is it, of saying, you know, if someone's listening and they do have a women's network, it's not a case of just saying you need to get the men in. It's actually asking them what they're experiencing.
Yeah, exactly. And being open to that and wanting to listen to it. And I think, you know, I fully understand that many women's networks were originally set up as safe spaces for women. And I think those are very much needed. You know, women need to be able to talk about the experience that they're having in the workplace, often at the hands of men. It could be harassment, for example, or it could be just the fact that they're being mansplained or talked over. You know, there's a lot of frustrations, I think, for women in a workplace that's very male dominated and very male coded, right? But actually, also, if we want to create change, I think we do have to do this working together across genders. And that's where we need to bring the men into the conversation. But we also need to understand what they're facing too. And I think if we have what we call a gender dialogue, i.e. we talk to each other about, well, this is what I'm facing, this is what you're facing, how do we create a workplace together and a culture together that creates a better outcome for all of us, then that's a better place to be than just trying to pick it off, you know, individually as genders, as it were.
Yeah, it makes total sense when you say it like that. It's just like, this is a no-brainer. How do you think men generally feel? Obviously, these kind of questions are quite big, how do they generally feel about gender balance initiatives? Do they see themselves as part of the solution? Are you seeing resistance? And how do we navigate that?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is that men often don't think that gender includes men, right? They often think gender, that's women, right? So you've got to kind of help them with that kind of awareness. I think often also men haven't even thought about the issue. So I was chatting to someone at a conference the other day, and said I was going to be speaking about men's involvement in gender equality. And he said, my gosh, I've never thought about that at all. You know, I've never thought about the issues for women. And, you know, actually a lot of men, you know, we have a privileged position in the workplace because the workplace was kind of designed by us for us, right? So we don't see the issues of others. So I think actually sometimes we're just completely ignorant of these initiatives, and we're ignorant about the reason for the initiatives. So I think the first thing is we've got to do is get men being more educated, increasing their awareness about it, and listening to these experiences that women have in the workplace. And I, you know, read a brilliant book recently, The Authority Gap by Marianne Seigart, which you may have come across. It explains why women aren't taken as seriously or listened to as much as men are in the workplace. So I think it's about kind of just pointing out all those things to men. Then I think men start to see there are ways we can be part of the solution. We can be those allies, and we can be men speaking up about some of these issues. And that's why I'm trying to create now a group, and I've called it Men Partnering for Change, where we get men signing up to say, listen, I want to be one of those men that's allied with the fact we need to change the workplace for all of us, and particularly, you know, dealing with the issues that women face and the role that men can play in changing that.
That is so brilliant. It starts with the education piece, doesn't it? I guess if they are ignorant to it. That book is fantastic, by the way. I've just given it to my dad to read, actually. whenever I get a book, I'm like, everyone needs to read this book. Husband, dad, all of my male mates. Yeah. And it's great. And I think I need to do a whole podcast on the amazing book recommendations, because I get to speak to brilliant people like you. So yeah, we'll have to do that. So when we're looking at gender balance, and I've come across this in my work at Jobs for Women. I've done presentations before. I've had a man come up and say, what about the men? And I've had to really reiterate and say, no, we all need to be in the room. This is a conversation for everyone. Do you think that when we have a conversation, it's similar to menopause, I guess. When I talk about menopause, especially on TikTok, interestingly, I get a real divide on stop talking about it because it's making women have an issue about menopause. And if we stop talking about it, then people are going to think we want extra sympathy or extra policies and leave. When we talk about the gender topic, can it create a divide in, I guess, some organizations or cultures?
Well, yes, I guess it can, and particularly if you're thinking about setting targets for women in leadership or having policies that particularly support women. So for example, if you create leadership programs for women in the organization to try and change things so you've got more women leaders, then it's quite, you know, sometimes obvious that the men will speak up and say, well, what about us? You know, what about leadership programs for us? I think what's important to do is reflect, okay, we need to take everybody with us, okay? So there's certain things we need to do to level the playing field now for women in the workplace, such as, for example, setting up these leadership programs. But we can also set up programs for men as well so that they understand how to be better leaders in an environment where gender balance is going to be a bigger issue. And of course, you know, even coming back to things like menopause, men need to know about menopause because we've got partners that are going through it or going to be going through it, you know, and so actually we can say, look, some of these topics are actually relevant to all of us, even if we're not experiencing them personally ourselves. We need to know it because of people around us that are affected by it. So I think what this is now about, making sure that we actually think about including everybody and that we're thinking about inclusion. And then the question is, how do we drive that inclusion in organizations? What's the role of all of us in driving that inclusive environment where we don't alienate men, where we include everybody? And I think when we look at it now, we can see there are specific roles that men leaders can play, for example, in engaging other men to make sure that men step up. So I think there's a lot we can do to get everybody on board here.
Yeah, I love that. Have you ever had to work? Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to sort of navigate that, where, I don't know, an organization has been maybe having processes for women or, you know, like women in leadership, and people have felt that it's not fair?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've had certainly a situation where men will push back and say, you know, any targets for women or any programs for women or anything that involves equity, you know, it's trying to give more support to those that have had less support in the past. Any program like that, which gives people a bit of special attention, as it were, is seen as discrimination against the people that aren't getting that attention. So often men will say, well, hang on, targets for women in the workplace, they're going to discriminate against men. And yet what we're really doing here is we're just leveling the playing field. So what I often point out to men is, look, here's some good news, okay? In the future, we still want 50% of leaders to be men, right? Okay. Right now, we've got 75% of leaders as men. So obviously, we're going to have to change to get that. But the good news is we still need 50% of leaders to be men. Now, you want to be in that 50%. Now, here is what it takes to be in that 50%. And to be in that 50%, you need to know how to do diversity and inclusion. You need how to do allyship. You need to be able to display the full range of emotional intelligence. And I think what we know is that women don't want to be promoted just because they're women, okay? They want to be promoted because they've got the skills. But what we do know is they're working in a system that doesn't tend to help them progress. And so we've got to change that system. We've got to level the playing field, and that will mean change. But the good news is there's still a significant role for men in the future. You know, we just got to balance it out a bit more.
That's such, you put it so eloquently as well, because if I was a man and you were saying that to me, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I get this. I want to be in that 50%.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice way to sort of to look at it. So well done. That's That's great. If there's any organizations listening, because I've been in organizations, this one was probably a year ago, that had, you know, said that they wanted to introduce, I think it was a period policy, menstruation policy, and they had massive kickback.
Yeah.
There must be so many organizations listening that might be thinking, well, how do we navigate this? And I think you've given some great answers about leveling the playing field. If they are trying to introduce a policy, is there a simple way out? There's probably not. But have you got any advice for an organization that might be trying to do something and it's not working as they planned?
Well, I think they've got to sort of try and work out, you know, what's not working, as it were. And I think generally speaking, where they've got to go is they've got to listen to the voices of the people that are affected. So, for example, it might mean having specific men's focus groups to understand, well, what is going on in the men's minds that mean that they're pushing back, or what's going on in women's minds, for example, about the fact that they might not be valuing whatever it is that's being offered. But I think the key thing really here is that what we've got to show men is that there is something valuable for them in stepping up to be genuine allies and authentic allies to support women. And I think, you know, it's pretty simple, actually, to start. Like I said earlier, you just need to listen, you know, invite a female colleague to talk about her experiences in the workplace. Companies can ask their men to just start doing that, and they can use workshops, or they could use keynote speeches as a way of getting that message across. And then the other thing I think is that they've got to think through is we need sponsorship and mentoring programs in our organization to develop our talent. Okay. It isn't just about developing women. It's developing our talent more broadly. And I think if you put this in the context of what the company needs in order to succeed in the future, and then what role can we all play to help the organization succeed, then I think it's really important that we get everyone bought into that. So, but I think we have to know what's on people's minds. We have to know what some of those barriers are. So some of these focus groups can be a good way. And I found, for example, all men focus groups can be really valuable, because you then get a better insight into what they're thinking, and they can do it in an environment where they feel a bit safer to open up about some of the issues that they're really fearing about and have anxieties about.
That's a great idea. I think focus groups are a great way to start. And that's great advice for if you're listening, and, you know, we have HR, talent acquisition, D&I people listening. I think it's kind of, again, we keep going back to the communication, the listening, it's so important. But those focus groups might be a great start. That's good advice. How can we create a culture? Say it's maybe being male dominated in an organization, and initiatives are starting to bubble or pop up, or they're planning them. How can we create a culture where men feel safe and actually feel encouraged to be a genuine ally and not doing the tick box or jumping on the bandwagon, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier psychological safety, and I think that's absolutely critical as a way of helping everybody feel that they can say what they're really thinking and feeling. So I think that's kind of a critical thing, where people feel they can be themselves, they can open up about the issues. And of course, an environment where we've got certain rules around, for example, we're going to expect respect between our colleagues in the workplace, for example, and we're going to have a zero tolerance of harassment and stuff like that. So I think it's about kind of creating that kind of environment. And as we just discussed earlier, education awareness is kind of really critical about things like, especially the biases and the stereotypes that we all have around the workplace and sort of gender roles within the workplace. And then I think what people need going forward is that flexibility that promotes a work-life balance for everyone. I think, you know, there's been way too much focus in the past on just kind of producing for the company, and that's great and important, but, you know, we kind of sometimes forget that we're all humans with a life at home, with a partner that might be working, with kids, like in your case, Ryan, and you need that balance. So I think we've really got to make sure that's happening. And then we'll hopefully start to see representation improving at all levels. So we especially see more diversity in leadership. We see more women in leadership. Women can see role models for them to aspire to. And I think, you know, if we can do that in an environment where also we are inviting people who are across intersections, you know, to be part of this as well. So we need to feel that there's opportunity for everybody, whatever gender, whatever culture, whatever color, you know, whatever level of ability we've got. It's about creating an environment where everybody can thrive. And I think if we do that, and we take responsibility for having our part in that and having a role in that, then I think we can build that inclusive workplace that we really need to see.
That is, yeah, I totally agree. And I think you've just brought so much to the table in terms of like real tangible actions that people can take. Just going back one step, because I know we've got to wrap up soon. We talked and it really resonated with me, you know, the expectations on men. You know, traditionally men have been the main breadwinners. When we're looking at societal expectations of masculinity, and I often think about my little boy who is the most sensitive, amazing, caring young lad. But when we're thinking about the expectations of masculinity, the impact of men's engagement with gender balance, them often not knowing how to get involved, how can we challenge the expectations that men maybe feel are still hovering because of society's expectations and encourage that, like, let's get involved attitude?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing, we've got to acknowledge that society's expectations of men vary across cultures. So, for example, you go to Brazil or Italy, they're very different, for example, to like in the Nordics, for example. I remember going to Denmark and seeing all these men pushing strollers around with kids in them, in sitting in cafes with their kids. I thought, my God, what is this weird country where the men seem to be doing all the childcare? But, it's wonderful when you see that sort of balance. So, but it does vary from society to society. Obviously, we also mentioned the man box earlier, which some societies create for men, as it were. In other words, you've got to be strong, you've got to be tough. And it builds a sort of macho version of masculinity, which isn't helpful. So what I think is a key way to address that is to get into schools, start getting in earlier and showing young boys and young men, as it were, that there are alternatives to that kind of like macho masculinity, where they can actually be more emotionally developed men who express their emotions, express their feelings, what we call healthy masculinity. Sort of, and I'm working with a group of men who are trying to develop models around that. And I think what we're now seeing also, I'm coaching younger men in companies who have working partners and kids who are also challenging these expectations. They want to be more rounded versions of men, as it were, who are there and fully supportive. And so that's important. And what I certainly see is if men have daughters and working partners, they are a little bit more likely to be motivated. But I think the key thing is they need to be believing in justice and fairness, because I think that's the key trigger that gets men interested in this. And I think companies can encourage men to get involved in this way by showing that it's important to the business, that they've got men showing up as inclusive leaders and men that are leading more balanced lives. But it starts at the top. You know, if the leaders are working flexibly, taking their childcare responsibility seriously, if they're leaving early to go to their daughter's school play, for example, setting a role model, setting an example, then I think other men in the organization will think, actually, well, if my leaders can do it, I can do it. And that's good for everybody.
Absolutely. That coaching sounds phenomenal. Well done. What a great question and answer to end on. It's been such a pleasure, Robert. I think you have such a wealth of expertise. You're doing incredible work. If people want to connect with you after the pod, where can they find you?
Well, on LinkedIn, you'll find me, Robert Baker, Potential Talent Consulting on LinkedIn. So that would be the best place. And I'll look forward to any follow-up, any conversations that people want to have.
Brilliant. And if you do find Robert through the podcast, do let him know that it was through Inclusive Career Conversations, and I will put the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us. I loved my interview with Robert. I just actually said to him as we ended the pod and I stopped recording, I said, you're like a media dream. There were some amazing sound bites. And what I meant by that I think what's really clear is that 20 years ago, he showed such an interest in this area, which I am here for, obviously. But I think, again, because he's had so much experiences, he is a male ally. He sees how amazing women are, how much they can bring to the table when it comes to women in leadership. I think he just brought some amazing action points. So if you are working in an organization and you're thinking, how can I get more men involved? How can I make it inclusive for everyone? Then you can follow some of Robert's action points. And don't forget to connect with him. If you found him via Inclusive Career Conversations, do let him know. It's so important that we can see those connections when we have these brilliant guests on. And of course, if there's anyone that you want us to interview, drop us an email and we can make that happen. hello@jobsforwomen.co.uk. So that is it for another episode. It's been a pleasure having you here. If you haven't already, do leave us a review. It helps us reach even more people and share these positive, conversations that need to be happening in order to make the workplace a more inclusive and safe space for everyone. So that is it. I'll see you next week.